On this episode of Video Culture, we'll talk 420 with Friday and next Friday.
Did you rewind it?
I don't know.
In a time where everyone has a podcast. In a place where everyone has an opinion. Two heroes, Matthew and Ryan, against all odds, are here to save your movie viewing experience from total disaster. Your trip through the video aisles of yesteryear begins now. There will be chills. There will be thrills, and there's a good chance that Ryan will have a coffee spill. They'll discuss the quality, cultural significance, and more detail, frankly, than you bargained for. Here's your host, Ryan Acree and Matthew Essery.
And welcome to another edition of Video Culture. I'm your host, Ryan Acree.
And I'm Matthew Essery.
And this week on, we're talking about 420, or at least when this podcast will be released, will be on April 20th for those that do partake.
And by partake, we mean partake at Earth Day, you know, conservation and, you know, being Earth friendly.
It's from the Earth. It's from the Earth, man. God put this on the Earth for me to smoke it. So, yeah, we decided to. Since, you know, this is going to be coming out at 420, that we would do movie and the sequel because this is episode 60. So we're going to do Friday and next Friday, two hilarious movies that are just absolutely fantastic.
Where the concepts of 420 are definitely applied. They never say 420, that they don't take place on 420.
No.
But the spirit of 420 is alive and well in those two films, if you know what we mean. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's Friday. Ain't got no job. We'll get you high today.
Yeah. That's how the first film starts off.
That's exactly how the first film starts off. So Friday came out in 1995, and it stars Ice Cube and Chris Tucker. And if you haven't seen Friday by now or get any of the references or anything, I encourage you to just go out and go ahead and watch the movie even before you start this podcast, because it is a fantastic, fantastic movie, and I think it's almost a perfect comedy to me. I mean, everything in the movie, it like plays out like a stage play, and it all takes place in the same neighborhood, and I think that it emboldens like everything that you would call a cult classic. I mean, very few comedies that are called classics, I would think, and this is what definitely would fit, you know, into that category.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I wouldn't even say it's a cult classic. It's considered a classic, at least by our generation. Yeah, our generation definitely considers it a classic film. It's almost a perfect slice of life comedy. There's not that much conflict in it. There's not really a whole lot of plot per se, but it's just a lot of, you know, funny things happening to people in a casual, realistic environment. You're right. It could very well be a stage play.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the same sort of problem that you have, like, when they did, you know, when we talked about the movie The Burbs. Like, all of the action takes place on that one street, and there's only one scene that they even leave the neighborhood. And that's just the go to the store or whatever to, like, get cigarettes for Smokey's mom or whatever. And that was the only time they left. Other times, they're just right in the neighborhood, right in front of Craig's house most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we get too deep into that and why that makes it such a relatable film, why don't you go ahead and tell us the plot of Friday, Ryan?
All right. So having been canned from his day off, Craig Jones, played by Ice Cube, and his best friend Smokey, played by Chris Tucker, spend the day smoking it up in their South Central neighborhood while dealing with the neighborhood bully, relationship troubles, and an angry drug dealer, and a lot of other odd characters. And that was written by Mystic 80, so we appreciate that very much. So, yeah, there's not a lot of like the thing that we usually talk about here, like a MacGuffin. It was just this idea that Smokey owes a lot of money to Big Worm, played by who was
Faison Love.
Oh, that's right.
He's a video culture alumnus. He was in The Replacements.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's hilarious. Where Chris called him like Big Worm or something like that. You know, with that big.
He's got this ridiculous perm wig. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, obviously, you can tell Chris. You know, improvised a lot of lines as his character. You know.
You know, and I love when Craig's dad's like Big Snake or whatever. You know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You can tell Chris is just, you know, having a lot of fun with his improv, you know, and doing that sort of thing, and where it's not really very scripted. It's just Chris, you know, riffing on things, just, you know, just being Chris.
Yeah, it's based a lot on his, he started out as a stand-up comedian, and a lot of it is based on his early stand-up comedy, before he kind of became a big movie star because of this movie. It was definitely kind of his persona. I was just going to say, man, so much of the movie is just them hanging out, like, having fun together.
You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the movie starts off with a day just like any other Friday. The first thing you find out is Ice Cube's character. His name is Craig Jones. And, you know, he's like in his early 20s or mid-20s or whatever. And you find out he got fired on his day off because, you know, they caught him stealing boxes or whatever.
Yeah, that, to me, that's one of the – I don't know about you, but that's the line I've always loved to quote. Was how do you get fired on your day off? Was you get caught stealing boxes?
Yeah, that's a wonderful that's a wonderful thing. I mean, there's just so many great one-liners that you can just take and share a laugh with your friends. You know what I mean?
So the guy caught stealing boxes thing is something I've said to every one of my friends who has ever been let go from a job.
Oh, no. Caught stealing boxes.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Also in the cast, not just Ice Cube and Chris, but playing the neighborhood bully that I mentioned earlier is by actor. His name is Tiny Zeus Lister Jr., and he plays the character Debo.
Yeah, and to talk about an iconic movie villain, Debo, man. He, some of you guys will know him as Zeus from No Holds Barred, or as the President of the United States from The Fifth Element. Just a wonderful character actor, and just a really unique presence, and so intimidating in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing him, you know, come down the street with those, you know, crossed eyes of his, and you're like, oh my God, just steer the other way. Yeah. Like, don't even look. Avoid eye contact at all costs. Yeah.
Here's a good example of how just kind of striking and intimidating he is. Did you notice that Michael Clark Duncan was in this movie?
No, I did not.
That's how much that Tiny Lister catches your attention, because Michael Clark Duncan has a cameo in this movie as Debo's friend during the gambling scene where he first takes Red's bike.
Okay.
And you barely notice him.
Yeah.
And Michael Clark Duncan is a gigantic man, so how could you barely notice him? But I mean, he's totally in the movie for like 10 seconds, and they you get a clear shot of him, and still you barely notice he's there because Debo is just so intimidating, you know?
Yeah, he's just so menacing. I mean, even in that flashback scene, you can just tell. I mean, yeah, you don't even see, you know, anybody else hardly. And, you know, they spend most of the movie trying to avoid, you know, Zeus. He becomes like a plot point, basically, because the end of the movie, because there's the big fight and with the gun scene. And, you know, and just going back and thinking about, you know, the actors, we lost, you know, Zeus because of the, COVID, because of complications due to COVID. And, he's just a great character and great character actor and so iconic. And, you know, people either call him Zeus or they call him, Debo.
Yeah. For a while, he was actually being billed as Tiny Zeus Lister, you know? Like, it kind of became part of his stage name. But he's one of those guys, whenever you see him pop up in something, it would always make you smile, because, hey, it's Debo. And it was always nice to see him in things, and, you know, I certainly miss him, seeing him in things, and I'm sad he's gone so soon. But to bring it back on a lighter topic, so much of the movie is just a slice of life film. There's not a lot of like conflict and plot. I mean, you have Debo is kind of like this kind of like Jaws figure who kind of like threatens things on the peripheral, and you've got Big Worm who's kind of gives him a little bit of conflict there at the end. So you can have like you can show kind of the little bit of the horror of dealing with drugs in South Central. But for the most part, it's a hangout movie. You're just spending time with these characters. You're seeing their world, and it's in these kind of movies, especially for guys our age who kind of grew up just kind of hanging out in the time before like smartphones and all that. It's a very universal thing of just sitting on like the porch with your buddies, wasting away a weekend day. Like we're gonna sit out here, we're gonna listen to music, we're gonna talk to girls as they walk by, That's a very universal thing, and that's why I think that Friday has really resonated, not just with black audiences, because it is a very black film made by black creators for black audiences, but it appeals to guys like you and me who are painfully white.
Well, I think it gives you a glimpse into that world of, what it was like to be in South Central, in that neighborhood at that time, because movies like Boys in the Hood and Poetic Justice – they resonate a certain way, but, in a very sort of like dramatic sense. And this is, everyday people and everyday things, and they're riding their bikes and they're going to the store and there's funny things happening and Craig and Smokey are there in their neighborhood as their, sort of entertainment window. And you're just hanging out and gossiping just like they would, in their world. And like, did you hear that? And did you hear what happened here? And just how everything sort of transpires is really quite hilarious. Because we'd all like to hang out with Smokey and Chris Tucker almost stole the show, even though that we know that Ice Cube is such a big star. And the love interest played by Nia Long, like Debbie, who are both in Boys in the Hood, but just like, like the hilarious crackhead, comedy, that's, very amusing. It's only a 91-minute comedy, and almost every scene there's something funny going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, the cast for this is so good. I mean, you've got Faison Love, you've got Bernie Mac, you've got...
Bernie Mac as Pastor Clever.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I mean, and it's just full of just great, great actors, man.
I mean, even Regina King plays Craig's sister.
Yeah.
It's like she's been nominated for Academy Awards. I mean... she was in movies like Ray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was in one of my favorite TV series from a couple of years ago, Watchmen, HBO's Watchmen. She's phenomenal, and this is her during her like baby time, She's so young in this, and she's really funny in it. I mean, you have John Witherspoon who plays Craig's dad, and he almost steals the movie too. Like he is so funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, John Witherspoon is like a stand-up comedian himself, right? I mean, he's just hilarious.
He did some comedy, but he was also in a lot of TV shows and a lot of films. A lot of our audience will know him as Grandpa from the Boondocks cartoon, where he plays kind of the same character. But he gets a lot of the great lines. I mean, every time I'm in the kitchen, you're in the kitchen eating up all the food, The movie's chock full of just so many funny bits and lines and memorable characters, and it goes back to you just want to hang out there. You want to sit on that porch with those guys. You want to smoke and laugh and like you said, gossip and talk about things. It's a world you like hanging out in.
Oh yeah, like when they tell those stories, like oh man, like Hector man, and there's just all those one-liners that are just so great that if you're just Chris Tucker that hey, you got knocked the F out, you ain't got no job, I'm going to get you high today. I mean, I'm sorry, I know I'm not doing all that justice, but, it's just absolutely hilarious, all the, one-liners and everything they get that out of this movie.
Yeah. It's hard to talk about it because we try to keep the podcast swear free so we don't get in trouble with iTunes. But
I mean, another one is, you know, you ain't got no job. You know, I know you don't smoke weed, but I'm going to get you high today. But, I mean, I don't know anybody or everybody that I've ever smoked weed with. I mean, they've always said almost every time, it's like, no, man, puff, puff, give. No, man, you're effing up the rotation. I mean, where this come from is Friday, you know?
Or at least, I mean, I don't know, at least white kids didn't. This is, I mean, it was a fundamental thing for me and my dorky friends, for sure. But we talked about this before with dodgeball, about how influential dodgeball was to the culture. Friday is equally influenced, not just pop culture, but culture. Yeah, think about how many people you know who say, bye, Felicia, you know?
I mean, that's ingrained in our modern culture. It's on, like, ABC News and stuff like that. So, I mean, if you haven't seen this movie, this is all where it came from.
Yeah, like things like where the crackhead pretends to slip and fall, and he's like, my back, my neck and my back. Those are things I've literally heard people joke about it with each other who I don't know. Like, I'll be in, like, a Waffle House, and I'll hear people joking about that amongst themselves.
Oh, wow.
Decades later, you know? Those things have just kind of become ingrained in our culture.
Yeah, not just black culture. I mean, like, American
and
culture.
It's just this little movie about guys sitting on their porch, basically, you know?
Yeah, another one of my favorite scenes, funny scenes, is when, you know, earlier in the movie, Craig tries to make cereal, and he's got no milk. So, like, later in the movie, you know, Craig tries to make Kool-Aid. And then, you know, Chris Tucker, you know, Smokey complains they don't have two things to go together. You know, he says, you ain't got no peanut butter, no jelly, you got no ham, you got no burger, and, you know, you got no sugar, you got no Kool-Aid, you know. It's just absolutely hilarious. But, I mean, what was funnier is, like, earlier in the movie, you know, it's like he's got cereal, but then, you know, he has no milk. So another, like, two things that don't go together.
Yeah. Cereal, no milk, ham, no burger.
Absolutely. Comedy gold, my friend. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way the kind of movie is it's kind of like these strung together, sort of interconnected Saturday Night Live skits that can almost like be on their own or exist in their own little world, because they're only, you know, 3 and 4 or 5 minute, you know, little things, and they all just kind of fit together in these little, you know, pieces or whatever. These, you know, everything's.
Yeah, and what's cool about it, though, and I noticed this watching it this time, it doesn't feel like a bunch of feel like a bunch of interconnected sketches. Like, it's so casual that it's kind of everything just kind of melts into each other. Like, all the scenes just kind of flow into each other. Like, it doesn't feel like, oh, now we're going to do this bit about, you know, having no sugar, and now we're going to do this bit about Big Worm, and now we're going to do Debo. It just feels like you're hanging out on an afternoon. It feels very organic.
Yeah, I mean, everything takes place like a 24-hour period or like a day or whatever. Like, he has a conversation with a girl. It looks like Janet Jackson. And then later you forget about it. And like 30 minutes or 45 minutes later, she shows up and you're like, oh, boy. You know? It just.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a good job of. It feels a good job of feeling like a day. It really
like
does.
It's all put together from like what happens in the morning. And you have the, you know, characters, you know, just kind of show up. You know, throughout the movie, just kind of in and out. You know what I mean?
This leads into a good segue into what is your rewind and savor moment? If you were going to rewind the tape and rewatch a scene again from Friday, what scene would it be?
I mean, that scene, that line. Chris Tucker is just so entertaining as himself in this movie, and it's just so easy to see why he became such a well-known comedian and actor. He's done. You know, so many things since Friday. This was his big breakout movie. So Dead Presidents, Jackie Brown, Rush Hour franchise. I mean, he and Zeus were in The Fifth Element together, actually. And, you know, I really miss just seeing him in movies and wish to see him in more things. So, but yeah, that particular scene where that he's just going off on all the things that they don't have, all the things that, you know, like sort of don't match together is my, that's my favorite part of Friday, I really think.
Yeah. To me, it's so hard because I find so much of this movie so incredibly funny. So I think I'm going to have to go with pretty much anything John Witherspoon does as Craig's dad. His scenes are, to me, low key the funniest things in the entire movie. Like when he makes Craig come into the bathroom with him and while he's taking a crap and he's spraying the spray and he goes, he's like, boy, I smelled your stuff for 20 years. You can smell my stuff for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've walked out of the bathroom myself and said, you know, nobody go in there for about 35, 45 minutes. Exactly. You know?
Yeah. Every time I'm in the kitchen, you in the kitchen, eating up all the food. Those things kill me. Like, his delivery is so good. Mm-hmm. John Witherspoon was so funny.
Oh, yeah. I'm laughing about it
like
now.
Just a genius. Yeah. Yeah, just thinking about it makes you want. Like, I'm trying not to just laugh and quote lines the entire time because that's the kind of movie this is. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes you want to laugh and just quote lines back and forth to each other. And as kids, we'd get a little messed up. We'd get our swerve on, and that's what we would do. You know, we would just quote lines to each other.
Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of movie you can watch over and over and over again and quote to each other. I mean, it is just that great.
So now we have to change the mood a little bit, though. And I have to ask you, is there anything you don't like about Friday? What's your fast forward moment?
You know, that's hard because I really don't think that there's a lot of them or a lot of bad things. I will say it gets a little serious at the end, which, I mean, it is sort of necessary. I mean, I'm not going to fault it for that because I think that after you have to bring yourself back to reality of the situation, and you know, even though that it is a comedy, but yeah, at the end where Craig brings out the gun and there's all the kind of like the fake ending, and it gets very serious there for a second, and I don't really think that you would want to take any of that out really. I mean, it's only 91 minutes And really, there's not really many scenes that I would want to fast forward through. You know, the scenes.
It's true. Now, I do have some complaints, but they're not really like bad scene complaints. And some of this is having to look at it through a modern perspective, which we really try not to do here. We try to always take the movies as they're intended.
Yeah, I mean,
in the time they were intended.
Yeah, but there were movies that are available now. That, you know, we always have them available so that at one time, I mean, it's just a different time period from which they were actually filmed.
Yeah, so we have to kind of talk about this stuff sometimes. And there's a couple things in here like this to me. But before I get into that, I do want to say my one complaint that's just more technical is there's some really weird editing in this movie. Like, some of the editing's really choppy.
Yeah,
sometimes like you can tell that they hadn't really it was an early film for everyone involved. There's a few rough filmmaking spots, like when the Barrio kids come up to Chris Tucker in their lowrider, there's a weird jump where like they show a close up of the guy and then they could cut to a wide shot and it's a little jarring for no reason.
Yeah, I know there are some definite continuity mistakes, and I think in that scene. And that you're talking about in the background, there were some extras that didn't really mean to be there, but they were there.
I was just going to say, it's just rough around the edges in places. Yeah.
But yeah, those people, they were there for filming, and they wouldn't go away. So apparently they just put them in the film, and that's just how you have it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's just got some jarring things like that. But otherwise, there's one thing that has bothered me for a while, and it bothered me again this time. When they go to the store, there's a scene where the store owner pops up, and it's a little Asian guy, and he's dressed in, like, hip-hop clothing. And that's fine. That's an okay little, like, visual gag. Mm-hmm. But what bugs me about that moment is they hit a gong when he stands up. And to me, that is such a racist little thing to do.
Yeah.
And the movie is good about letting everyone kind of joke with each other about different things. But that's just kind of a little mean-spirited little like racist comment that is never addressed again. It's just there for like a signal, oh, this guy's Asian. Yeah. And
yeah, it's definitely stereotypical, tropish, because there's a sign up at the top that says black-owned, and then he pops up like an Asian gentleman. So,
yeah, but yeah. But the gong is like putting too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just too tropish, and he also had like big smiling teeth.
Yeah,
it's meant to be
stereotypical, and the gong just puts it over the top. And with the world we live in nowadays, it's so clear that. And this is taking a little bit topical because of what's going on in the world recently as we're recording this. But Asian people have been the butt of racial jokes with no real like comeback or retort for so long, and it really bothers me now that I've become aware enough to see it. And that little moment bothered me,
right?
And it has for years, and it bothered me this time. But I felt like I wouldn't feel good about myself if I didn't mention that's there, and that's something that's probably going to bother some people. Mm-hmm. And rightly so, because it's to me, if they had taken the gong out and made it just the idea that it says black owned business and he's clearly not black, that's one thing. That's kind of funny,
right?
That works for me. But by putting that little overly like oriental gong there, it seems like, oh, why'd you have to do that? That's such a cheap kind of stinger,
Yeah, it was cheap and insensitive and just something to be aware of when we watch the movie. I think that whole scene where they go to the store was just kind of out of context, because it's almost unnecessary, except for the part where Ezel, has that hilarious one bit where he, falls on the ground. And that's the only joke that's really in there. The only other joke, I think, is the Ford Pinto, which, because it backfires and it's a, just a jalopy, and it's just the car that Smokey has. It's never really mentioned in the joke. Craig can't say anything about it because he doesn't have a car. And it's just one of those things. It's kind of an unspoken, kind of a funny thing that's in the movie. And everybody had a car like that. You know what I mean? And you just kind
of
did.
And to me, that's one of the more universal things about it, because everyone had a friend who had that car if you just glanced at it out of the corner of your eye, you think, oh, it's a convertible. How nice for him. But the minute you look at it, you're like, oh, well, that's actually a crap box,
Right. Yeah. It's a terrible, terrible car. Like, you're surprised it gets where it's going, what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but, still a little bit dated. Just know that. But any more thoughts before we move on from Friday and move on to next Friday?
I mean, it's like I said, it's dated in some of those things, like what I just mentioned. There's some things with like some body shaming stuff that's a little weird in 2021. But if you can get past that and you can accept it for the time it was made, it's still so funny, and such a fun movie. And it's always good to revisit. I do want to clarify one thing that we should have mentioned at the beginning, that you and I watched the theatrical version of this movie. There is a longer director's cut that has a few more gags in it. It's like, maybe it's like 5 minutes longer. There's not much difference between the two. So any way you can see it, I highly recommend it if you like these kind of movies.
I think the theatrical version starts off with basically Craig waking up and you meet his family first before you meet all the other characters in the neighborhood. The director's cut is a little more, kind of like back and forth, and might even have like a little bit of Craig's sort of commentary at first. Just to kind of like establish the story. But other than that, I think they're pretty much about the same story, just slightly different order.
I've seen it, but I've not seen it in a while. So I can't remember all the details of how the director's cut starts, but it does have some subtle differences.
Yeah. Very few, if anything. There might be a couple more, gags in there, some extended parts of it, but for all in all, I think it's mostly about the same. I just think that the intro and the establishment of how you meet all the characters is just a little bit different in the beginning.
Yeah. And so, my point is, there's not enough difference between the two versions for it to really matter.
Right.
But I did just want to make a point, because we are talking about the movie. But anyway, you can see it. I think it's worth checking out.
Oh, for sure. I can't imagine, my life and what my college life would have been and without this movie. And quite honest, it's just, I grew up in a very white suburban neighborhood. I mean, obviously. And then I was kind of hesitant to watch this movie at first. My friend said, we can watch it. And so it seems like a movie at first, like when it first came out, that it was a black movie for black audiences. But when, you know, you watch it, it's just completely hilariously funny. There's so much stuff to relate to. And it's just, I mean, comedy is comedy no matter how you look at it. And it's just completely, completely hilarious and hits the mark on so many different levels.
I think that movies, again, to go back to something that Ebert said, movies are machines that produce empathy. Mm. Movies can show us windows into worlds that aren't our own, so we can learn about differences, but also similarities. And I think that's why Friday is so beloved, is that you learn that even though these guys are in a particular place and particular time, their experiences are universal, and we're not. Mm. And some things where you realize, especially when you're young, that we're not that different. And that's an important lesson when you're growing up. You know, when you're like 15, or even when you're in your early 20s, to realize, hey, I mean, these guys who may look different than me, you know, they're just as big of goofballs and screw ups and you know, stoners as I am. So we have that in common.
Yeah, like our dads are just as embarrassing, and we have a neighborhood bully, and you know, we're you know, tight friends like that, and we you know, gossip about our neighbors, and so it's just all those elements are easily relatable. That it's just a different neighborhood than what I grew up in. And you know what? It doesn't really matter, because it's totally fine. I mean, like I said, it's just...
Well, and speaking a little of different neighborhoods, let's go on and talk about Next Friday. Yeah.
Oh, talking about the suburbs,
yeah.
Right? Next Friday. It took 5 years for the sequel of Next Friday to be made. Finally, in 2000, Friday came out in... The only characters that really transferred from one to the next was Ice Cube is Craig Jones, and also John Witherspoon, as you know, plays his dad, Willie Jones. And also Tommy Lister Jr. Comes back as Debo, even though Debo is not really in the movie prominent like he was in regular Friday. It's a little more limited role. He's, you know, seeking to get revenge, but... Yeah. And then that's pretty much it. There's some flashbacks where they show some like clips or some things from back to kind of explain kind of where we are, or, you know, kind of what happened because we went from Friday to Next Friday. But that's pretty much it. Were you going to say something about the characters there, Matt?
Yeah. And there's a moment where like one of the neighbors shows up randomly for like a second.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it was their neighbor Steven, the one who's real bougie. You know, he's like, stay off my grass. You know, that one. But it's just kind of random and not really doesn't have much of a point to it other than, hey, we could probably get this guy for an afternoon. Let's go ahead and throw him in the movie.
Yeah. He wasn't even on my list of characters because he wasn't in the main list of characters there. But yes, you are completely correct. He did show up for that.
Yeah, so I think the reason there was 5 years between these two movies is they really wanted to get Chris Tucker back, and he just refused to do it. I mean, and I think that was been the case for every Friday sequel so far. It was Tucker just did not want to be in them, or he wanted too much money. So I think they held off for 5 years, hoping they could convince him to be in it, and it just never happened, so they had to retool it without him, you know?
So here is the breakdown. Debo has escaped from prison and is looking to get revenge on Craig. So Craig's dad takes him to Rancho Cucamonga to hide out with his uncle Elroy and cousin Day-Day, who moved to the suburbs after winning the lottery. But once he gets there, Craig and Day-Day have a set of suburban misadventures that make his South Central experiences look tame. And that is written by JGP3553 on IMDb.com. I won't give out your email address there, but I mean, it is exactly what it is. I mean, if you can watch the first 5 minutes of Next Friday, he pretty much explains the story with a little bit of flashback and what's going on in the new setting and what's happening. And you quickly learn by watching the movie that, you know, just like he has to go hide out in the suburbs of Rancho Cucamonga with his cousin Day-Day, who's funny. was, you know, a completely different kind of character than Chris Tucker or Smokey, but also with his uncle. There's like these Latinos next door, you know, but Day-Day, yeah, I mean, he's just such an odd, sort of funny character, and basically kind of hangs out with him because they're about the same age, and, yeah, I mean, Day-Day is just a completely
nobody
different
takes
character.
Him seriously, really. I mean,
yeah,
he's played by Mike Epps, who, and I'm gonna say this right now, Mike Epps is funny in this. Day-Day's a funny character.
Oh, yeah.
Completely. But the movie's not so much about the suburbs as it is just kind of, you know, just more kind of the brighter side of California in a weird way. The whole movie's glossier.
Mm-hmm.
It feels much more like a Hollywood film than Friday did. Like, Friday feels kind of low budget and kind of, even though it's farcical and silly, still kind of feels like reality.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like Friday was shot on 16mm, and this was shot on 35, you know, and it was bright and sunny,
yeah,
and colorful.
It's just glossier, and it's also moving from the idea of gangster rap in the mid-90s to now we're in 2000, which is like the era of like FUBU and Sean John, and everything's got like even Craig's look is different. Like in Friday's wearing like the flannel shirt and the t-shirt, right. Mm-hmm. and next Friday's wearing like the brightly colored, you know, kind of like shiny jersey, you know?
Yeah, the football jersey.
Yeah, it's got kind of that FUBU quality to it. Like, so the entire vibe is just brighter and more broad and silly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny, but it's not as relatable.
Yeah, I mean, Day-Day is just kind of a funny, sort of weird.
He's got like the do-rag stocking cap thing. I'm gonna reveal how again. Like, I used the phrase painfully white earlier. I'm gonna use that again to say I don't really know what that thing is called, but it's kind of like a do-rag like yes. Stocking thing,
a stocking cap or something like that. But, I mean, our whiteness is showing.
Yeah,
okay.
But really, they just kind of have adventure. Like they you find out that Day-Day's father has not paid the property tax on his nice house in the suburbs, and they're going to repossess his house, basically.
Yeah, like, they won the lottery and moved out to the suburbs and spent it all on the house and this car and whatever fun things that they wanted to spend it on. And even his pool is there, like, he has a pool, but it's not filled up. It's just, you know, filled up with dirt and water, you know what I mean? It's just...
Just the idea of, we have it, and we have it. That's the whole point of it. But so much of the movie is them trying to figure out how they're going to get the money to save his house, and
right.
And to go back to the fact that Friday was very big amongst other cultures, they bring in a white character. They bring in this character named Roach, who is kind of like the white stoner skater kid who works with Day-Day at the record store. So even that to me seems. I don't want to say it reeks, but that has a negative connotation. But right. but it definitely implies that they're trying to – they recognize the appeal of a Friday to a lot of different cultures, and they're trying to make it even more mass appealing by bringing in different people from different ethnicities mm-hmm. into more positive roles in this series.
Yeah, like just bringing it out to the suburbs, I think, springs volumes right there. Yeah. That they're not trying to recreate Friday by bringing that out to the neighborhood. They are, you know, doing this new thing, and they're bringing in more, you know, sort of cast of characters kind of thing, trying to be more inclusive, I think. And also while bringing in, you know, new characters, you know what I mean? Like his uncle and, you know, Day-Day and like his aunt-in-law that's trying to like hit on him and stuff like that, and you know, you're just trying to figure out what the really MacGuffin is. Like, we talked about the MacGuffin being like the tax thing, but we don't really find that out till later. Like, he's the kind of only one that knows about it at first, and then but yeah, just meeting the neighbors and meeting everybody else is kind of a whole other kind of situation. And so it just kind of at first the first part of the movie, it just kind of meanders for a while until you really figure out, like, okay, here's all these people, And then, like, eventually we get around to what this movie is kind of
about. And it's not nearly as relatable. But I do want to clarify, his aunt that's coming home to him is his step-aunt. So it's not, like, it's not super weird. It's more of, like, a Pornhub kind of ahead of its time sort of thing. But anyway, the whole movie, like, it's not as related.
And by marriage.
So it's not as relatable as the first film. It's zanier than the first film.
Right.
Like, it's a little bit more, and I hate to use this word, but a little more Hollywood than the first movie. And to me, it's still funny. It's missing a little bit of that honesty, you know?
Okay. What exactly do you
mean? Like, I find it funny. Like, I find, you know, Roach smoking with that little pit bull terrier. That's a funny scene. I mean, I like Day-Day being chased by Baby D around the parking lot. That's funny.
Yeah.
But it all just feels a little more like corporate.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, like it's more sort of put on.
So it just doesn't quite feel as honest to me. And while I find it funny, the jokes are a little more like don't feel as natural. And I really kind of hate the gangster characters who are kind of like the antagonists of the film. They are super broad and they're not that much fun.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of drag the whole movie down. Like these three Latino characters who are basically the drug dealers across the street. And they are like the worst, like barrio, like stereotypes. Like to me, it goes back to being almost offensive.
Yeah,
they're so broad
and so tropish. I mean,
still, there's still things that I like about it. Like I said, I mean, I like watching Epps and Cube interact with each other. I like their interactions with the kid who plays Roach. When it does that kind of normal stuff where they're just kind of like sitting around joking with each other, that to me is the essence of why Friday works, and when it focuses on that, it's fun and enjoyable.
Yeah, like when they're in the record shop just hanging out, and it's just him and Day-Day and Roach, and they're all like hanging out and smoking and stuff like that, and then it turns into a completely different situation where Pinky comes in and like, you know, there's like almost like a shootout kind of thing. They're fighting. It's completely weird. Like, I was just thrown off by the whole scene. And then it turns out to something different when the girl tries to like chase Day-Day around. So it's like, okay, now we're going there. And then this whole MacGuffin thing about like paying off the thing is like kind of distracted, with the gangsters next door, because then they're all interested into
a hydraulic cylinder for like a lowrider.
Yeah, like their hydraulic cylinder, and that's what this whole thing like came about. And then they're trying to like trying to chase it down. Yeah. They're trying to it becomes in the party. They got to sneak in. They got to figure out what's going on. And this is where I think like the plot just became too many plot lines. And they just didn't really know how to get out of it. And then it just wind up like into a big knot. And they kind of painted themselves and didn't know how to paint themselves out of the corner.
It's like suddenly they think, oh, we have to make this about something in the last, 20 minutes of the movie, basically.
Right. Like instead of establishment. And then they're just like, okay, now we got to wrap up all of these, things that we came up with. How are we going to resolve?
And some of them don't get wrapped up. Like they introduce a whole like subplot with the Latino sister of those three guys being into Craig and having this forbidden romance. And then she just leaves and is not there at all at the end of the movie. Like she literally drives off, and there's no resolution to it. There's no lip service paid to it at the end. You just never hear from her again. So I guess that he went home and they never talked again, even though they had this like few minutes where they're like really into each other,
he had a pager number, right?
Yeah, but they never like, but they don't comment on it again at the end. She just like drives off. That's the end of it, you know.
Well, we didn't even mention that Debo comes out at the end, like he just like appears because he was in the truck with Craig's dad and just shows up at the end, you know.
And there's another subplot that they never resolve, which it didn't even occur to me until I was just thinking about it.
Another one.
There's a subplot where, again, Epps' character is being hounded by this girl who's claiming that he's the baby daddy of her unborn child, but the timeline clearly does not match up with that. Like they dated for like 3 months and she's 6 mm-hmm. months pregnant. And right. she's harassing him, and her baby sister is the one, baby D is the one who chased him around the parking lot. They're basically right. harassing him, and that's a subplot in the film of him being kind of hounded by these two women. It's funny stuff, but it literally has no resolution.
Yeah, I think at the end, they finally like have the money because they stole it from the neighbors or whatever. And he's like, "Oh yeah, I can finally fix up my car." And then baby D comes yeah. by and like. Throws another brick in the back window.
Yeah, so basically they just are now hounding him forever, apparently.
Right. There's yeah. just no resolve, and you just, I don't know, just left it all up in the air.
Maybe that's paid off in part 3, which I've never seen.
Friday After Next, which was made in 2002. There is a Friday After Next. I mean, I don't say it's one of these movies where, at least this movie, I mean, it has some funny scenes. But yeah, just not totally as enjoyable of a movie, I guess that you would say.
I mean, it's got things I like about it. I enjoyed watching it, but it is, mm-hmm. it is even way more flawed than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean,
yeah, just when they started to get in the house and sneak around the house, that's when I started to go, okay, this is just getting, way too much. This is going way too far.
Like I said, the only thing I liked about that was Roach, The white kid smoking mm-hmm. with the dog and feeding the dog bologna.
Oh yeah, because he wanted nothing to do with the dog. And at first, he was like, "Well, I got to do that. I don't like dogs." And then, you know, they shared a hash brownie.
Yeah.
And then, they're like,
because dogs are adorable, and who doesn't love dogs in movies? You know. So.
Oh yeah, don't ever feed your dog chocolate. Bad.
Yeah, that's doubly bad because one, marijuana is bad for dogs, and chocolate is doubly bad for dogs. So it's a movie, people. It's a movie.
Yeah, but that was a great little subplot, and I wish there was more stuff like that instead of ending on a bad thing or ending on stuff were unresolved. Like maybe the cops would have done something with the girls that were harassing Day Day or you know. Maybe they, you know, it would all sort of like come to a head. Like all those subplots could have been kind of wrapped up a little bit better. But, we're just looking back and.
Well, and I think Friday shows you don't really need much of a plot. And next Friday just has too much plot right there at the very end.
Oh, yeah. And then there's this whole, like, you know, Asian lady that lives next door that was hilarious that they used her.
Yeah, she's funny.
Small scene. Yeah, they used her a couple small scenes. And they didn't really use her all that much. And she talks like she's from South Central. And, yeah, absolutely hilarious, character they could have dropped in. But
yeah, and she's funny.
Yeah, they just didn't really use her much at all.
Yeah, to me, her and Day Day and Day Day's aunt and uncle, those characters could have fit into the original Friday. And they wouldn't have felt out of place.
Oh, for sure.
And personally, I'd kind of hope for a while that maybe one day we would get Chris Tucker back for a fourth Friday that would kind of unite those different characters into one movie. But mm-hmm. it looks like it's never going to happen. Yeah, they're all much too old now.
Yeah.
But the things that work about next Friday are definitely those oddball characters.
One oddball character that I'll bring up as well, cameo. From one of my favorite actors, Michael Rapaport.
He does,
As the mailman who has to bring the bad news. If you follow him on Twitter, he has some hilarious, hilarious rants. He's definitely a New Yorker, typical New Yorker.
I will always have love for Rapaport because he was in True Romance, which is a movie that I adore, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't like True Romance? Is there anything in Friday that you would like to rewind and sort of save?
Oh, I like a lot. Like, see, the stuff in the record store, like when they're like Roach is doing a headstand and Craig and Day-Day are watching him and laughing. The things where like Day-Day is showing Craig around, I like a mm-hmm. lot. The scenes where, again, Baby D is chasing Day-Day around the parking lot, mm-hmm. and she tries to get like a date with Craig at the same time. To me, those scenes feel like they come from a Friday movie. That feels like mm-hmm. what the Friday style is, and I like those scenes a lot. So definitely those scenes. Those are the ones I savor from this one.
Oh, yeah. I definitely love the record shop scene, especially like the beginning of it and where it went sort of after that was just a different place with like Pinky and the whole fight, which I didn't – it was just seemed like a kind of a departure part of it. And I love the skateboarder guy. What's that?
His character's name is Roach.
Roach. Yeah, because every time you see him, he's trying to do like some sort of like skateboarder trick and just like fails miserably. It's a great bit of physical comedy.
There's a nice little bit of subtle character stuff there too, because every time he tries to skateboard, he falls.
Right.
And if you look at him, he's bandaged up through the entire movie. Like he's got like a bandage on his arm. He's got like band-aids on his neck. So clearly he's not a very good skateboarder, but they never really address that. They let it all be like visual stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. What would you sort of fast forward through?
I think we're going to agree on this and say most of the ending. Most of the ending, the whole thing kind of deflates pretty badly.
Oh yeah. Just we won't say it anymore. So, let's see. What are we doing next?
So, Ryan,
yes.
If you were going to rent these two movies from the video store, would you keep them an extra day, or would you get them back early and to avoid those late fees?
I would keep Friday, but I would probably return next Friday.
You know, I'm going to say that I would keep them both. I think I liked enough of next Friday where I would watch it again.
Oh, you would.
I would just stop it before the end, I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah, before all the weird ending. And it's almost like it needs, like, multiple endings or something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just too much plot going on and too much loose ends. And like we said, it doesn't always get resolved.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But, you know, hey, it's just us looking back at, you know, these movies, the main character is completely funny. Like we said, I mean, Ice Cube, Mike Epps, you know, Witherspoon, all really funny. So
that's very true. So let's hit those notes, my friends.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the notes. Ice Cube said that he created Friday out of wanting to create a film that was lighthearted and in contrast to the hard-hitting films such as Boys in the Hood and Colors. Ice Cube and director F. Gary Gray stated that they modeled this movie after the movie Clerks, which was made in 1994.
Which, as I was say, I even almost mentioned that earlier. I did not know that, but I almost mentioned that the way that Smokey and Craig hang out, it reminds me a lot of Dante and Randall in Clerks.
Oh, awesome. I mean, I never really even got that connection until I read this, and it really does make a lot of sense. I mean, it really, really does. And basically, I mean, I read in an interview where Ice Cube basically said, he said, quote, "I want to do something that's more comedy related, something that, you know, that wasn't like all the other movies that were coming out." And he wanted to create something epic, something that, you know, they could play for years and years and years. And that's where, you know, he came up with this idea of Friday, and they used real, you know, experiences to create the movie. You know what I mean? And it wasn't just written by Ice Cube. It was written by Ice
DJ
Cube.
DJ Pooh?
Yeah, Ice Cube and DJ Pooh.
Do you know who DJ Pooh is? DJ Pooh's...
Yeah, I didn't know who DJ Pooh was until I started, you know, doing the research and stuff like that and realizing that he plays the UPS driver in Friday.
He plays Red. He plays Red.
Yeah,
Red. He's like, my grandma gave me this chain. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got to say, to his credit, he's got one of the funniest bits in Friday where he cries and runs away. Like his little run to his car with his like floppy arm, like run to his car. Uh-huh. That is such a funny bit of like physical comedy.
It
kills me every time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, or the scene where he's just, you know, there up with Ice Cube and Smokey. And, you know, here comes Debo or whatever. That just, you know, he just punched him out. He still got his black eye. Yeah. And here comes Debo, and he's got his gold chain. He's like, I'll just tuck this under. I'll just tuck this under. You know,
my
what
back,
mean?
Fool. Yeah. Good stuff, man.
Yeah. But yes, they both created Friday off of their own experiences. And according to Ice Cube, a majority of the film is autobiographical, much of it being based on events that really occurred in his neighborhood growing up. Smokey was based on DJ Pooh's stint as a drug dealer, while Craig being fired on his day off was based on Ice Cube's cousin, who was working as a driver for the United Parcel Service at the time.
Huh. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so that's based on truth, you know, because they really did ask questions like, how'd you get fired on your day off? And it's like, man, they caught me on camera stealing boxes.
Yeah.
Speaking of stealing boxes, in the beginning credits, you can see Ezel running down the street with boxes. Those are the boxes that Craig Jones gets blamed for stealing in the movie Friday.
And if you think about it, like he's got a similar haircut as Craig. So I guess it was probably him in the security footage that they saw.
Yeah. Yeah. So the clothes that Ice Cube wears at the beginning and end of the movie are the same clothes that he wore at the end of Boys in the Hood. DJ Pooh Red was originally set to play Smokey. However, New Line Cinema pressed producers for a better-known actor, reaching a deal with Chris Tucker. That was the thing I was going to say about Clerks. Before they got New Line Cinema involved, they originally were talking about financing themselves and shooting it in black and white, exactly like Clerks. Like, how weird would that would have been?
What a weird alternate reality that would be.
Oh, yeah. It's been really weird. New Line Cinema, they actually had success with the House Party movies, House Party franchise. So they said, no, we need somebody else to play Smokey. So Chris Tucker was kind of getting more well-known as a stand-up comedian. And, especially for the black audiences, for his outlandish comedy. But at first, his screen test was really terrible. So then he went to dinner with like an acting coach, and she said that basically he came over for dinner, and after dinner he was Smokey. Like whatever that she did or whatever that she said, he became Smoker. Smokey. Chris Tucker did improvise most of his lines on the set, and he was so funny. Many times the set had to be cleared because the crew were laughing so much.
That's always a good sign.
Yes. Smokey's car is a 1976 Ford Pinto, for those of you interested. And this movie was filmed at 126th Street between Haledale in Normandy and Los Angeles, California, in South Central. And it was deep in a Crips gang territory, so that anything red was banned from the set, as it could be interpreted as a blood affiliation. So no cast and crew was allowed to wear any of that stuff. Also director Quentin Tarantino counted Friday as one of his 20 favorite movies from 1992 to 2009. So that's pretty big accolades there from Quentin Tarantino. The budget for this movie was a paltry $3.5 million, but in the box office return, $27.5 million.
Which that's a big return. I mean, those aren't huge numbers, but that's definitely a movie that became like an all-timer own video.
Oh yeah, for sure. Even to pull that much, you know, just as we put in 3.5, but you know, a lot of times we say doubling is doing okay, and then but you know you pull the lever at 3.5 and you get 27 or 27 and a half, and that's before you even go to video sales or HBO fees or any of that other stuff, any of those other residuals that you get, you know, after the movie, after the box office.
Yeah, there's a reason why there are three Friday movies, and it's right there. Yeah.
The Rotten Tomatoes score, 78% critics, 91% audience.
I've never met anyone who doesn't love Friday who's in the proper age group for it.
Yeah, you know? The only reason I think that it's 91 is probably because, you know, it's not cinema or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, like my parents wouldn't get Friday. Your parents wouldn't get Friday, and people sometimes see those movies and they're like, it's just not for them in any way. And yeah. You know, movies aren't universal, shouldn't be universal for everyone. Not every movie is suited for every audience, you know?
Yeah, so for next Friday, I only have just a few things. Chris Tucker did not reprise his role as Smokey from the original film because he had become a born-again Christian after filming Money Talks in 1997 and chose to do the Rush Hour series movies instead.
Yeah, I had always heard it was a money thing. And maybe it's a little bit of both. Who knows?
Yeah.
To me, it was always sad that he never came back in some way to bring it all together. Because I would love to see, like, Craig, Smokey, and Day-Day together on an adventure. I think that would be fun.
That would be hilarious. That's really great wishful thinking. But, yeah, because I think Day-Day is, you know, funny in his own right, in his own character. And, you know, Chris Tucker is too. I know he's had a lot of, like, sort of personal troubles in his life. And, you know, he hasn't really taken on a lot of, you know, big roles. So he's kind of stayed out of the public eye. So he chooses not to to work and overwork himself. So I really wish we got to see more of Chris Tucker and more of the, you know, of the Smokey character. But, you know, it is what it is. Just moving on, the Cadillac that the Jokers use is actually owned by Ice Cube's bodyguard.
Very cool.
And the budget was $11 million, and return was $59.8 million.
Because at that point, everyone kind of loved the Friday brand, so people were excited for
it. Yeah, to see it return, and it's 5 years later, and you're not always sure what's going to happen, but it's almost like a guarantee because it's, you know, it's next Friday.
Yeah, It's you can't say that it's that great, that it's technically a great movie.
Well, Rotten Tomatoes critic score 21%.
Yeah, I mean it's like I said, man, it's fun. Even though it's flawed, I still like it. I mean, if I was going to give it a star rating, I would give it 3 stars out of 5.
Oh yeah,
because it entertains, and that's what movies are supposed to do, you know.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it has a 76% audience score, so that's not too bad. There is a Friday After Next that we mentioned earlier. Have you actually seen it?
I have not, and I've actually got an idea for a future episode that I'll talk to you about it off the air sometime.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this is not the only stoner movie that's got a third entry that's based around Christmas. So I think that's a little weird thing that we maybe should talk about at some point.
Well, Friday After Next does have a 26% critics Rotten Tomato score, but I mean an audience score of 75%.
So people liked it more.
Yeah. So I think that you would. It does reprise Day-Day, Mike Epps, and also John Weatherspoon. As Willie Jones, and also his mom returns, as well as Clifton Powell comes back as Pinky. So some returning characters there.
Oh, cool. And I know it's also got Terry Crews in it, which is, I mean, I do enjoy Terry Crews.
So. Oh, yeah. Who also played a president in Idiocracy.
He did, yeah. That's a weird bit of trivia there.
Yeah. I love Terry Crews. So do we have any movies that we would like to recommend based upon Friday as well as our other movie next Friday?
Okay. Well, the first time I saw this was I had a friend who worked at a video store, and he would constantly, every like Friday or Saturday, he'd get off work and we'd get together and we'd hang out. We'd like eat some fast food. We'd drink a little bit. We'd get a little bit lit up, if you know what I mean. And we'd watch a couple movies. And one day he brought over, this was in 95 or 96. He brought over Friday, which had just come out. And he brought over a movie called Half Baked, which stars Dave Chappelle and Jim Brewer. And it's another like classic stoner comedy. It's a lot sillier than Friday. But to me, those movies are intrinsically linked in my mind. They make a great double feature. If you want to watch, if you're listening to some 420 and you don't want to watch it next Friday, or if you're not a fan of that movie, you do want to do a double feature that's kind of 420 friendly, Friday and Half Baked work really well together. It's a very, very fun movie.
Oh, yeah. That one's definitely 420 friendly, man. I guess you would say, what kind of movie that would be. It's just like a star budding cast, I guess you would say. They weren't really like they're almost like the SNL rejects, but they're the SNL rejects that were so edgy funny, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Guys like Jim Brewer and Dave Chappelle, you know, they're just a little too edgy for what, you know, like mainstream, but
it's very true.
It works so well, and they still work together in that movie, and there's so many great skits and, you know, such a great cast of characters in that movie.
Yeah, and the movie's just full of classic moments. It's got great cameos. I mean, it's got Jon Stewart in just an amazing little sequence where he plays a guy who's buying weed. It's just a great movie, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I love Half-Baked, and it's one of those classic movies. Also, Harlan Williams, that's another guy that's in that movie that I absolutely love. Just hilarious, hilarious main cast, as well as all the cameos, you know?
Yeah, he's really funny, man. His comedy's really alternative and strange. Yeah. But I find him really funny, so I do like Harlan Williams.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the cameos, Tommy Chong, Stephen Wright, Snoop Doggy.
So many great people, man.
Snoop Doggy Dogg, Willie Nelson, Bob Saget. You mentioned Jon Stewart, Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, I mean, it's a comedy. It's a comedy all-star movie. It really is. I mean, it's phenomenal if you've never seen it.
All right. Well, the one movie that I'm going to suggest is more kind of like a black community, I guess you would say, comedy. And I remember watching these movies when they were, you know, on TV, like TBS or USA. And I would watch them and I would, you know, I would say, you know, I know these are not for me, but they are still like really funny. And I think today they just would still appeal to wide audiences. And that is, you know, like I mentioned before, the House Party movies.
Yeah, Kid and Play, man. Those movies are fun, man. And see, to me, it goes back to teaching you about universal experiences. You said the idea that these movies aren't for me. They may not have been made with you in mind, but comedy and humor and like having fun, man. That's everyone. That's for everyone. And
yeah, I mean, it's all based on your parents like being out of town and you're gonna throw a party and what they call it, like a pajama jammy jam.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like these guys are hip hop artists before they started the House Party movies in 1990, and they became more popular because doing the House Party movies than they did of their actual like hip hop career. You know, the last album they did together was in 91, but they continued to do house parties until like 1995 all the way. So just great, great movies, you know?
Yeah, like I remember the House Party movies in like Class Act and those movies way more than I remember their music, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if you look up Kid and Play's like discography, they did three albums together, Too Hype, Funhouse, and Face the Nation. And Face the Nation, that was done in 1991. That was the last one that they did. But if you look up their filmography, they first started in Kin Play. They did House Party 1990, and then they did all the way to the last one they did, House Party 3, which was in 1994. So, I mean, but yeah, House Party 2, Class Act, Bodyguards. And yeah, they even did a House Party Tonight's a Night all the way up in 2013. So, you know, even more popular as, you know, film stars as they were a hip-hop duo.
I think that's a great recommendation. I do.
Yeah, so I think that about wraps it up here for Video Culture. I don't know what we have coming up next, but I am sure it is going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's a little bit in flux. We've got all the movies picked out. We haven't scheduled them all yet, so... But you guys will know when we know, and it'll be up on the website. But I just wanted to say, you know, this is episode 60, and it's kind of hard to believe that we've made it 60 episodes.
Wow.
So thanks so much for coming along on this journey with us. We really appreciate it, you know. And we think you're going to enjoy the next few episodes we've got lined up. We got some really fun stuff, some really varied stuff coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it'll be a good time. But until then, you know, we'll see you next time. I'm Matthew Esri.
And I'm Ryan Acree.
Go watch some movies, guys.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Video Culture. You can check us out on Twitter at VideoCulture2.
That's the number 2 for two guys talking about movies like Ryan and myself.
And you can also check us out on Facebook. Just search for Video Culture Podcast.
Also, be sure to stop by our official website, video-culture.com. There we have the entire show archives, as well as articles about film.
Yeah, so check us out. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, coming out with us, talk movies. Did you like the show? Do you hate the show? Do you like or hate the movies we talked about? Let us know. Come chat with us, and let's all watch movies together.
Now, your mama told me what happened to you yesterday. How the hell are you gonna get fired on your day off?
Damn!
Look, she bending over.
Hi, Miss Parker.
Hi, boy.
Miss Parker just don't know.
Come here.
What's up, Big Pine? Big Worm?
If you ain't got my money, I'm killing you and him. You don't drag me into this?
I'm used to stealing. Get in, get out.
Here come Debo. Give me your stuff.
You want me to ask for my bike back?
What bike?
The one I let you use a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
that bike.
Damn!
Count out my money.
40, 60, 80, 120, 140.
I don't think you're applying yourself, Smokey.
Wow.
Lord have mercy.
Just give me 3.5 minutes. Maybe even 4. Hey, who is that?
I don't know.
Drive by! I don't know. It sounds like machine guns.
So you gonna loan me the money or not?
I wouldn't feel comfortable lending you $200 without a job.
If I was working, I wouldn't need $200.
Exactly.
Now, Dana told me about that big snake situation.
Big worm.
Big worm, big hole, big... I don't give a damn!
I said they hit. They hit me, they hit me, they hit
me. I'm gonna kill you and Smokey.
You need a job.
You need a wig.
Damn! What you looking at with that girl for? Talking about she look like Janet Jackson. Control! Got out of the car looking more like Freddie Jackson.
Oh, my back, my neck! I'm suing y'all! I want $150,000! But I'll set out of court right now for $20.
Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, Bernie Mac, Johnny Witherspoon, Tiny Zeus Lister, and Mia Long, Friday.
Don't ever, 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 ever come by here. Okay?
I said a hip hop, the hip it to the hip, hip hop, you don't stop the rocker to the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat.
Directed by F. Gary Gray.